It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumman.
Greetings, salutations, everybody. My name is Stephen Julian. I'm your slightly annoying co-host who is challenged on the last recording how long I could make that slightly annoying sound.
Let's be clear. I didn't challenge you. I said, I wonder how long you could do that.
That's a challenge.
I didn't really want you to. But
that's a challenge. And I accepted that challenge. And now we've lost all of our listeners because that was so irritating that they at least did the skip ahead 15 seconds on their podcast. So you didn't miss anything. I am your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian. With me, as always, is the gracious and patient and puts up with me host of the show, Tiffany Krumans. Hello there, Tiffany.
Hello. It is good to be here today.
Yes, but it was not good for me to see how long I could do that, right? Okay, so now that we know. And by the way, I could have gone longer. I decided not to because I kind of thought I was trying to time how long could I do this without Tiffany reaching across the table and smacking me upside the head. Hey, if you're a listener of this show, that is probably because you are a product-based business or an inventor or entrepreneur, and you've got a great big idea. Well, you can't call your company Great Big Idea because we have the founder of Great Big Ideas, and he's going to be joining us in just a second. Tiffany, what are we going to be talking about today?
We are going to dive into IP, intellectual property. So that's everything from trademarks to patents, you name it.
And that is a topic and a subject that you keep coming back to in this show. It's very important, right?
Very important. It's oftentimes done in the wrong order. Sometimes too prematurely, but it's a very
or too late. Yeah,
yes.
Right. It's that thing you want to do at exactly the right time. So part of your great big idea is to take care of your great big idea at the right time in the right way.
And I happen to know someone, and I'm very close to someone now who I would consider the expert in that space. He is sitting here with us.
Are you going to introduce him?
Yeah, Brock Coles, one of my close friends and great business confidants.
Brock Coles, the founder of Great Big Ideas. Brock, welcome to the studio.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, Great Big Ideas, which, by the way, I love it. GR, the numeral 8, Big Ideas. Tell us what the company is, what you do.
Well, I was an individual entrepreneur, had a very successful startup, and on our journey, we had way more ideas than money, which is a quite common problem. So instead of giving up on ideas, I became a patent agent. And so for the last 20-plus years, I've been in this role of kind of a hybrid between an entrepreneur and a patent agent, and I've worked with big corporates and with the tech community. And so Great Big Ideas is focused on working with entrepreneurs and startups, helping them patent their ideas and protect themselves on their journey as they begin to build their companies. And I love it. I'd like to say I jumped into it 5 years ago, but honestly, it sort of found me. I was working with corporates. IP, as Tiffany said, comes up over and over again. I just began to answer the phone, and it was entrepreneurs in the community needing help.
So it's definitely a subject matter that is every entrepreneur has to deal with that has an idea, especially with a product-based business and developing a product and all that. Now, on our show, if people have been listening for a while or they go back and listen in the archives, it's not something that is tried and true. Everybody does the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have stated, Tiffany, some people immediately go after a patent and they shouldn't.
Well,
some should should do it immediately, right?
My advice on it has changed since meeting Brock, because now I have him as a resource for this, and I didn't have someone as knowledgeable and that they could go to for a reasonable price and actually have these conversations. Whereas before, it was always a patent attorney trying to take advantage of someone and typically file a patent way before they should, or at times when they shouldn't even file one. And so it wasn't really until I knew and trusted Brock that that I understood that there are different paths for this and there are more positive outcomes for startups.
All right. So, Brock, let me ask you this. People call you. Does the procedure typically follow a similar track? Can you kind of paint us a picture of what it would be if one of our listeners were to call you?
Yeah. So, you know, to Tiffany's point, I view intellectual property from an entrepreneur's perspective, and And the big difference in my mind is in the by the hour law model, where you have to essentially buy a service from an attorney on a per hour basis, it's not really the way the entrepreneur is working. They need somebody who's going to spend as much time as it takes to actually get the job done, or to help cultivate the idea, or to help them understand where the protectable part of the idea is. And so I think when the journey starts, it's really trying to figure out maybe what is patentable. I mean, if you've already drawn some drawings and you've already maybe done some wireframes for your application or something, that maybe that's a great place to start. Maybe all you really need to do is put a stake in the ground to try to be that early owner of your own idea inexpensively. And then as your journey over time begins to show you what's in the market and what you've developed and what customers, you know, find attractable about your product and everything, then you can spend a little bit more money. It kind of goes along with we raise money when people get interested in our idea, right, and it takes a while first to get there. And I think your intellectual property should follow that same process. Very inexpensive in the beginning. And then as you begin to feel more and more closer that your idea is going to be commercialized and you can begin to realize revenue, then it makes sense to spend a little bit more money to protect those core ideas and that type of thing.
And usually you don't have the option to do what you just described with patent attorneys. I mean, they're going to dive right into telling you to patent the entire thing and do both, you know, trademark and patent. So
that's their model, right? Yeah. They want to work 1,800 hours in a year. Every hour counts the same, whether it's for a big guy, a small guy.
Can you explain for the listeners that, who don't know what a patent agent is? Can you tell them what that is exactly?
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting. It was real early in the morning one night when I was upset that our attorneys told us that we had more ideas than money. Yeah. And then I realized I came across the patent agent. And what it is, it's somebody who has taken and passed the patent bar exam that has a technical degree. Like for me, it's electrical engineering, so that you become a patent agent. If you have a law degree, then you become a patent attorney. And so we've studied the same things when it comes to patent law, and we've taken the same exam, but my background is technical. I don't have a law degree, so I can do everything I can do at the patent office, but a patent agent can't give you opinions and can't write you contracts. And so there's some areas where that's
And can
a,
you litigate or no?
No, it's not my thing. Yeah. I just focus just on the drafting and prosecuting patents is my bailiwick.
Which is what they really need. An entrepreneur or startup really needs what your service is, because they don't know if they're ever going to be sued or if any of that's going to happen later down the road. They don't even know if they're going to get the patent, right?
Correct. And then in the way we divided that work in my startup was I was doing all of the drafting and the prosecuting, and we had our patent attorneys doing the licensing and all the other types of activities. And so it's not an adversarial relationship. You know, we were able to divide the work, and they were able to add value in areas that they had to.
Is the idea that if someone uses an agent over an attorney to get their patent done, it's what's the benefit of using an agent versus an attorney? I mean, is that the biggest one is you guys aren't going to charge by the hour the way an attorney will.
Well, a lot of agents, you know, work at law firms. I did a couple times this last summer. I spent all summer helping a law firm out here in Atlanta. I spent close to a year working with one in Connecticut. And so when you're in that arena, you know, they assign you a billable rate and it's a by the hour thing, right? Mm-hmm. You get up every morning I had a hard time comprehending it, meaning that I would get up in the morning and I would read a document and knowing that I only had 8 hours to produce a patent and it had to be done in that 8 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And I say to myself, you know, am I really, you know, servicing this thing? Like, you know, maybe I should take some time to understand what the idea really is. But in that by the hour law model, it's tough because, you know, that's how it's measured.
And so the biggest output that you're going to help an entrepreneur. And so, and Tiffany, I'm going to kind of pivot to you a little bit, because in our show, we talk about surrounding yourself with geniuses, and you kind of started this show. I was wondering, holy cow, some attorney's going to sue her, you know, because you were kind of saying some things. Is it more that working with an agent like Brock, what do you see that he's going to be able to help an entrepreneur with? Why have you referred people to him?
Mm-hmm. Well, what he just said, he's going to take time to actually get to know the product. And it matters a lot for what's in that patent application.
There you go.
I mean, I'm not saying they won't do that too, but they'll do it for 10 times as much.
Okay.
And they may still
because of the pricing structure, not because they're evil people, but because the attorney pricing structure is kind of universal.
To me, it's like going to a surgeon when you haven't even seen your general practice.
There you go.
You got to go to that first doctor that is going to possibly, you know, find the issue and then go and have the actual surgery.
Got it. And as a serial entrepreneur and an inventor and having too many ideas for the money you had, right? You're going to, while you can't give opinion, you can still advise.
So opinions that I'm talking about are the written opinions, right, like infringement and that type of stuff. So we all have opinions and we certainly give opinions on what's patentable and that type of thing. I was going to say, one of the common experiences, and I had it happen to me when I was an entrepreneur, was you would tell your attorney about what your idea was. And when the patent got drafted and it came back to you to take a look at the application, you would read it and you would say, well, gee, is this really my idea? Something's, happened, like the old telephone game, right? Yeah. I explained it and it came back. And, I feel like if you can work with somebody who really can take some time to understand before you get started, what it is, that there's more of a correlation between what's in the inventor's head and what gets put down on paper. And at the end of the day, that's what's supposed to happen, right? It's supposed to be the idea of the inventor, down on paper. And then you're supposed to add value to it by, crossing the T's and dotting the I's and developing the arguments, that'll get it through the patent office, right?
And that's the key, is Brock has put himself in that position. He wants to be that person that you sit and actually hash out these ideas with and work on. It's almost like you're doing some of the product development with them, that Noah does.
It happens, right? And particularly if you're on the early journey, right? And people build stuff, and then as soon as we build it, we know where the improvement points are, right?
I would almost say too that Brock, I would definitely say he brings more value because he has actually executed a lot of these things. So he is an inventor. He is a person who has worked with corporations and built, gigantic projects for them. And so where a patent attorney, yes, he learned by the book, but he didn't, oftentimes they have never brought anything to light themselves. So he's actually seen both sides.
I think if you can, the closer you can bring your patent creation to your product development, the better off you are, And in my startup, I was the guy doing the inventing along with a lot of other smart people and the patent drafting in the same place. There was no translation going on, right? The development team, we were there together every day and we were writing about it at night. We were putting it in the mail to the patent office the next day. And so anything you can do to sort of bring that patent creation down to your development team, I refer to it like when I was working with Coke as just embedding, right? We were embedding into the team so that every single conversation, every single meeting was an opportunity to sort of ferret out a great idea and then to, to get it down and get it recorded.
Can you give us a good story of, tell us a story, Brooke. Can you give us a good story of a time where other people would call you the hero as the patent agent of something where you either, help protect them because of your work or save them from a horrible rabbit trail they could have gone down? Give us an example, and you're not calling yourself a hero, but give us an example of a time where someone might call you the hero in the story.
So I would say the earliest contact point, that I find entrepreneurs find me out is when they have had their idea. They're not a technical entrepreneur. They can't write the code themselves or they can't build the product themselves. And so they've gone out into the tech community to hire somebody. And it doesn't happen.
Like an app, and
that type of thing. And then it happens that all of a sudden those people that you hire begin to think that they're the co-founder. They're also an originator of this idea. And that's usually when the inventor shows up, right, and says, hey, what can I do to establish that the idea was mine? I just want to be able to have a proof point in there. And so a provisional application is a fantastic way to do it. Very inexpensive. You can often take just some notes that people have already produced about there, or some drawings, put it in a filing, and that establishes the person as the owner. Now they can view the people that they have hired to do that development a little bit with less risk, right? That the idea is gonna walk away from them.
And if you've been in this space, you will not hear from a patent attorney that they want you to do provisional. Like I've never met one. I guess because it doesn't make them money. I mean, that's my best guess. But again, I'm seeing both sides of the fence. And so for me, it makes perfect sense because I know even at Mom Genius, we've gone through development wise, we've gone through, 15 different ideas in a year. Did we go forward with any of them but one? No. So why would we put that money into a patent on something that we ended up not even developing for whatever reason? The cost wasn't right. The design wasn't right. Brock's trying to get you to start at the lower level with some protection or just as valid protection, right?
The nice thing, nice thing about a provisional patent is it gives you 12 months of patent protection. So you can call your idea patent pending. It helps you with investors. It helps you communicate in your presentations that you're doing. It helps you protect yourself from your workers, all that type of stuff. There's no particular form, meaning that just about any document that you had, whether it be PowerPoint or, note cards or, that napkin that you wrote.
Napkin. I was going to ask about the napkin.
Yeah, that's all stuff that can be submitted. The cost is incredibly low. As low as $75 at the patent office. That would be if you're considered to be a micro entity and everything. But for that cost, for that $75. It gives you a lot of protection. Now,
if it's done correctly, though, right, with someone like you, I mean,
correct. Now, see what I try to do, and I have my own style. Is I try to take the notes from people, and I try to translate those notes into a patent application format, right? Because I think that if you want to continue on. And you want to use that in a future filing, the more that it looks and reads there, it's good. I also think from an investor standpoint, the investors are savvy that if you wanted to share your provisional patent application with them, they should be able to read it and see that there's something there, right? And so that's the value add.
And when he says something there, he means the investor wants to see that this could potentially turn into a full patent one day. So you don't do your little sketch on a piece of paper and send it in like you've read in books, years ago. You're trying to get as close as you can to what you think the product's going to be.
And what you do as the patent agent is, again, you're listening to what they're saying. You take their back of their napkin or the PowerPoint presentation and some anywhere in between, and you are already starting to craft the verbiage, the structure, the format, things you know by doing this over and over and over again that I wouldn't know as someone who's just coming to the table with my idea.
That's it. Yeah. There's a lot of magic language. Right?
Right. Jargon.
Yeah, just like every industry, but particularly in the patent industry. And to be able to get that language correct, right? Because any loose edge the patent office uses against you, right? That's just their thing on there. And so, to try to say it the right way and to try to make it look the right way and all those types of things. I think it helps, and I think the entrepreneurs appreciate that, right? It takes a load off them. They can immediately put it into their presentation. They can immediately begin to use it. They have that patent pending status, which is important. And then it can go through their product development cycle and see how the journey turns out.
I almost feel irresponsible talking about this in a broad way, though, because again, and I'm not saying this because I get anything from Brock or for any other reason, but that if you're not doing it with someone like him who really knows, I mean, this is a man who has patented products for Coca-Cola for giant, brands. He knows what he's doing and knows what he's looking at. Whereas if you just go to anybody who says they're going to file this provisional for you, you may not get the same result. So yeah. I don't really want to advertise that. Yes, a provisional is always better because depending on how you do it, it might not be.
All right. So after that glowing recommendation as the slightly annoying co-host, I now have to come in and ask a little bit of a hard hitting question. How do you get paid, and at what point will the person all of a sudden, okay, up till now it's been friendly. Now I still want to be friendly, but now I got to talk to you about how I charge.
Correct, yeah. So what I do is I do everything on a fixed fee because that's how entrepreneurs think. They like to plan for a budget. They don't want to have any surprises. And then I can tell people that I can spend as much time as it takes to get the job done. I also do all consultations for free, so they can call me anytime.
So the initial consultation to start with.
All of them. It all doesn't matter. Along their journey, they can call me at any time, send me an email.
He's very patient.
and that way, right? I think that a lot of times questions pop up and entrepreneurs need immediate answers and they should be able to reach out and get those answers. And it shouldn't feel like there's a toll for that answer on there.
Here again, that's a difference between an agent and an attorney. I mean, that I can see the differentiation, right? So, hey, as many consultations you need. Now, does the, and And I'm assuming is the very first conversation. Hey, let me get a taste. You hear me. Let's sit down. Let's see if this is the right thing. Is that very first one kind of pre or is it?
Oh, they all are, right? Yeah, okay. I don't charge by the hour for anything, right? I just on the applications that get prepared. For me, I do just a flat fee on provisionals of $500. I do a flat fee on the design patents, how things look for $1,500. And I do a flat fee for utility patents, how things work, for $4,800 on there. And so all the other stuff, it just comes along with it as part of the journey. And the reason why, like I mentioned, right, because I'm an entrepreneur and I understand the challenge and the threshold, you know, to get over. But it also then allows those entrepreneurs to plan and to budget accordingly, right, that there's not a lot of ancillary type of stuff.
And they can, when it's a fixed cost, they're not going to be surprised by anything. Oh, I know it's fixed cost, but this is extra. Plus, as they're doing it on a shoestring or whatever their budget is, they know what they know, and they go, well, I can check that off. And with that comes my consultations with Brock. Now, they can't call you and check on their fantasy football. Although I'm sure you build relationships.
Listen. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
not unless they want to try to patent it.
I like it. Tiffany, I wanted to ask you a quick question. You have had... you started this podcast because you got approached by so many people over the first 10 years over the first 10 years of Shark Tank, and it still continues to this day. People, oh, I got an idea. Can you help me? Oh, what is it going to take? Blah, blah, blah. And you started a Facebook group to help people answer questions, and you're now kind of doing some things on LinkedIn. How often and what's the breadth of the topic of patents and and IP?
Probably 50% of the stuff that comes to me. I mean, it's because that's where everybody starts, that they've seen it on Shark Tank or they've read it in books that, you know, I need to patent it, I need to protect it. People are fiercely protective of their ideas oftentimes before they should be. And so, yeah, that comes up probably half the questions I get start with that.
Okay.
They're so excited. Entrepreneurs are so excited. And, you know, when you work with them and they're just glowing, you know, they've got their idea and everything else.
He says this with a big, sweet smile on his face. Like, he's just still passionate about this. Yeah. And that's what I love about him. He wants to help. He's been there.
Well, and again, in the world of entrepreneurship and inventorship, the idea of I'll help you with this and I'll be as straightforward as I can be and no muss, no fuss. If you want to get it done, here's how I can help and here's what it'll cost. That's very rare.
Because
as we've done on our show and all the different areas of, oh, don't forget about this and watch out for this and we'll look out for this. And so here's just, I'll help you if you want. Here you go.
I love that there's stages. He can do the provisional for you. So if that's the, if you can't spend the 500, then you're going to have to figure out a way to bootstrap to get that. If you feel so adamantly that you need to get a patent right up front, but do that if that's, you know, a need of yours and do it through Brock. So, you know, it's done right.
I think, you know, my perspective is a lot of this is a give back. I've had a very successful career as an entrepreneur. I feel incredibly blessed with the people that I've met in the community. I wanted to help Atlanta. I wanted to help the entrepreneurs here. I mean, we're in a beautiful innovation lab. People are coming out, right, in order to get their ideas developed. A lot of them have had ideas while they've been in their corporate roles, frustrated. They need, you know, they don't know where to start. And so it's give back. It can't be a hobby. Otherwise I get in trouble at home. Right. In that regard. So I have to, you know,
so you're saying your revenue last year was not $20 million on the pricing structure you just gave us. Is that what you're telling me?
That's exactly it.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, it was worth $20 million and the people that I met and the ideas that they had and to help be able to help people on their journey. I tell you, they are so thankful.
Yeah.
They're so thankful, you know, for helping them out and everything. You know, you just don't get that in the workplace.
Sure.
You just don't get that.
Well, they're used to being taken advantage of. And then they meet somebody like Brock and he's just a breath of fresh air. So it's
hard to go to like tech community events. You know, I see people that I've worked with and, you know, they sort of give you the eye. They want to come over. They want to talk to you and everything. Right. It's like nobody in the room is safe anymore.
So
they've all pitched you an idea at some point or another.
That's right.
So you know, good work. That's a great value that is a tremendous help. I mean, and And it's also in an area that has kind of has a reputation I got to talk about patents. Oh, I got to deal with patents. Oh, I got to, you know, not many people get excited about patents. Yeah. And you make patents exciting.
He does. And even the way he talks about it makes him exciting. I mean, it's fun to listen to Brock's past experiences. I'm sure a lot of people he's worked with, he shared some of that with them, and it just really kind of solidifies why he does what he does.
You know, it's interesting, you know, with patents, you know, in the corporate setting, you know, recognition for employees is like the number one thing, right? You know, and a patent is a great way to recognize your team, right? Yeah. And you could see it early on when somebody took the time to write up their idea and got it through the labyrinth over at Coke and it issued, and they had their name on it. They just feel great, right? They just feel great. Like their idea counted and somebody listened and everything else. And so you just can't take that away from somebody, particularly if it's their first time or their first journey. And cool. If they're spending the real money in order to get it done, they've decided that this is going to be the thing. And so a lot of times you hear how they've managed their home budget in order to be able to do entrepreneuring and their family budget and their day job at the same time. And, you know, there's a lot of dynamics that go into this, and patenting just is a validation, right? It's an early validation. And for sometimes if the idea doesn't go further and everything, it might be the only validation that somebody gets is the plaque on the wall or the, you know, that type of thing.
And let's hope it didn't cost them, you know, $15,000 to do it. That's the nice part. You know, like if it is the plaque, like you said, and that's all it ends up being, let's hope it was the $1,500 with you versus, you know, $20,000. Because I've seen that time and time again.
Yeah. You know, I think that's it. It common sense says that your patent budget shouldn't exceed your product development budget.
But it oftentimes does.
Right? If you're not careful.
50% of those calls have come in. That's exactly what it's been. Somebody spent $20,000 to $25,000 on a patent they haven't even secured yet. Okay, that hasn't even been gifted to them, and they've put $1,500 into their product.
You know? So, I hate to hear that because I'd have been like the guy, you know. I would like to show up. Why they gonna call me and say, "Look, I only have $25,000 to spend on this patent."
It's like, well, I got a great deal for you.
I'm only gonna take 23.5.
Yeah, exactly. So what I love is one of the growing trends in the small business world is the fractional C-level executive, the fractional CFO, the fractional sales organizer. You're a CPA. You're a fractional C. What would be what's the C stand for?
Chief Technology Officer.
Patent agent. Of entrepreneurs and inventors.
I think it's great. I think that that fractional thing works great. It works great in a couple ways, right? There's a group in town that I work with, a small company, and they would like their investors to be able to call and talk to somebody, right? And so it'd be great. They can call me. I know the company. I know their IP. I've helped them develop it and everything. So this gives them somebody on the staff, right? That's a little bit more than the guy down the street or, you know, that type of thing. That an investor can call and have a conversation with. Where do you think it's going to go? How do you think this is going to work? What do you think the company's doing? You've looked at the space, you know, and that type of thing.
Brock, so how do you make money in that role? Is that just
I don't, right? And so, but it's helpful. And it's incredibly helpful for a startup to be able to say, look, we're just not a guy and a gal on a laptop and an idea, but, you know, I've got a guy over here and a fractional help here and that type of thing. I advocate having somebody come and embed with a team, right? And be part of those weekly reviews and that type of thing because – you know, selfishly, maybe there's more patents that I get out of it because I'm closer to the team and I hear more ideas. And the leadership begins to say, well, this is an easy pathway for us, right? And it's on track, it's on budget, keep doing it, that type of thing on there. But
so you build those relationships in the hopes that in the future, you know, might come back around.
Yeah.
All right. I need to apologize. I should have done this at the beginning or midway through, but I've waited all the way to the end. So if you have stuck with us, I know you have because it's been a fascinating episode. Brock, for those people who want to find out more and start a conversation with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can come through my website, www.greatbigideas.com, GR8BIGIDEAS.com. Got a Calendly on there. They can set up a time to call, talk about their patent needs, and see what I do. I try to keep a list of some of the patents I've worked on. They can see some of the other issued ones that are out there.
And if people don't want to go through the website, I'm sure you're on LinkedIn under Great Big Ideas as well.
Yeah, Great Big Ideas is on LinkedIn, and they can come, follow. I try to do postings when I can, but it's tough to balance time sometimes, right?
You're busy doing all these patents for people.
And watch out for a clubhouse with Brock, too, because I want to do one with him as well, because I think that could just be great if he was in there. And I tried to moderate, or maybe you can join us, Stephen. That'd be great. But I don't know if we'll do it as an episode. We're trying to figure that whole thing out, the crossover, but... Yeah, definitely.
That was a great tease with nothing definite. No, awesome.
It is definite we're going to do a Clubhouse with Brock. Will we record it and actually make it history?
So Clubhouse is a new app. I wonder what goes through everybody's mind when they hear Clubhouse. You know, I have kids that are teenagers, so Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, right? So I think that's probably
odd name choice.
It's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. All right. So Brock Coles, Great Big Ideas, GR8BigIdeas.com. Thank you so much for appearing on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Tiffany, great.
He's a good
conversation.
Guy.
Well, of course he's
one
a good
of my
guy.
Favorites.
You work with him. Yep. And I love that you admitted here on the air that your tone has changed because of, and again, when you meet other geniuses, when you meet people who are about putting other people first and doing good business.
Well, I'd only heard from the attorneys I'd worked with, which were the companies that took all of my money. So it was a matter of meeting that person that was honest and ethical and could really get you to the same path. And I mean, I don't think there's any other Brocks in the world, really. He's so unique. But now that I have him and I know him so well, it's like, why would you not go that path? That's the smartest.
If nothing else, if people don't want to work, well, they need to work with Brock, period, end of story, but search patent agent.
Right.
Because they do the same thing. They take the same test. Yeah.
About 5 or 6 years ago, I learned more about agents and did advise that maybe if you needed a better budget, that you could go with an agent. But didn't really truly understand it until I met Brock and learned more about what he did.
And when it comes to product-based businesses, you've said this, you know, we love the geniuses that are partners with our show. There are other geniuses. And definitely when it comes to the patent and IP and protecting your property, this is a huge issue. It's something we will come back to. The question is, will Brock be back? I think the answer to that is probably yes. Tell people how they can get in touch with you, because I'm tired of doing it today.
Yes. TiffanyKrumans.com or MomGenius.com.
That's it? That's all you want to say?
That's it. Or LinkedIn. Come meet me on LinkedIn.
And check out and get the Clubhouse app and start following Tiffany and find out her Clubhouse chats. And also, if you want to kind of learn more about your journey of product-based business, developing that, Tiffany's got an educational course on her website. You can do it for yourself. You can also do it for someone you love. Get some alternative education going here and help people become better entrepreneurs. So for our guest Brock and for Tiffany and for Jody Smith, jodysmith.com, He Helps People Cut podcast. This is Stephen Julian. Search me on the internet with Financial Advisor. You'll find my website, because compliance won't let me say it on the air. We'll catch you next time on Product Genius.